Yes. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. Welcome to Lecture Hall 1. We are very happy to be here. As it has always been the case, there are always those who are asking, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Where is your frequency? And we are indicating to you that we are here, as we always indicating to you, we are here. Connect with us via an app. Connect with us via an app, Eagle FM app. And yeah, so for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, Business and Economic Segment is your favorite platform that we talk about business, we talk about economy, we talk about human capital, we talk about, international development, and indeed, we talk about things which matter, things which are, are assisting us to eat, to drink, and also to live a fulfilling life. Because life was meant to be lived happily and also with a harmonious, spirit working together in a society where individuals enjoy natural resources of their state and also have a future of themselves and also their children. And that is the fundamental, it's a foundation of life. And in an economy, at the center of human happiness, there are those who speak about utopia. There are those who speak about the existence of the state as to make individual happy and also to reach their maximum happiness. And that is what we are discussing about. That is what we are talking about. And in all those things, there is what we call an economic factor. That is why in this program, we discuss every detail, every sector, every corner of our economy which deal with bread and butter issue. We discuss everything that deal with bread and butter issue. We look at policies, we look at legislation, we look at political decision, we look at governmental, policies. We look at the institutional and organizational plans and how this related to human beings. And yeah, we are saying as long as Namibia is where it is now, as long as the country is where it is now, as long as Namibia is the highest, unequal country in the world, second to South Africa, we still have to communicate, we still have to speak, we still have to analyze issues. We still have to make sure that, we bring about real conversation. We bring about those, thought-provoking conversations so that at least one day the state will be where it needs to be. The state will be where it needs to be. Because I like saying this every day. Currently as you are speaking, Namibia is the second highest unequal country in terms of the economy. Number two, Namibia is reclassified from upper middle income to lower middle income, the only country which is reclassified. The other thing, according to Financial Action Task Force, Namibia is relisted, which means that its financial system is yet not stable. And it's a risk for investment. When you look at foreign direct investors, before they invest in other countries, they look at international rankings, they look at peace, they look at stability, they look at financial, standing. They also look at the strength of that financial system. Then you'll be able to realize that there is a lot of things that we need to do. On top of that, in terms of energy, Namibia is the highest in terms of the price of energy, and particularly in terms of, the price of electricity. And that is now in terms of SADC region. Then when you look at institutions like European Union Commission, they list Namibia as high jurisdiction zone in terms of investment. Now, we are not only talking about Namibia is a country with negative things. But there are also good things that we speak about. Like in terms of gender equality, we are leading in Africa. We are the only country, as you are speaking now, not even the democracy that we exercise, not even the United States, which is the founder of democratic principles, as according to Abraham Lincoln, have ever had a female president in their existence, in their more than 200 years of existence. But that is also what we need to praise ourselves. We also need to praise ourselves in terms of our education, although we need to make sure that it's giving us fruit. Those, we also need to praise ourselves in terms of health. But that's not the discussion for today. Because there are those who are saying you cannot praise the bird for flying or the fish for swimming. But where things have been done well, we can also try to do that. But, you know, before we come to the conversation for today, dear listeners, before we come to the conversation for today, it's always like we are always doing, ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you follow us in our social media platform. Follow Eagle FM Namibia on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on LinkedIn, and also follow us on Instagram. And we are indicating to you that, you know, when you follow us, you like our page, we will be able to update you. We will be able to give you right content-based information. We'll give you updates on trade. We give you updates on, you know, sport. We give you updates on business, small, medium enterprises. We give you update on financial sector and everything that you need to do before you make that long-term strategic economic decision. So apart from you following us in our social media platform, dear listeners, you can also follow the Villager newspaper, because we have e-paper. That is, of course, the Villager newspaper, which is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when you follow the Villager newspaper, you make your life more easier, because that is exactly the digital version of a paper or the online newspaper that can assist you. That is online newspaper that can assist you, especially when you are into research, when you are a student of international law, you are a student of economics, when you are a student of politics, when you are a responsible citizen, when you are a responsible citizen who want to make changes, when you are a business person. That is where your mind meets content. That is where your brain meets context. And when that happens, it will bring wonders to yourself, because when you have economic insight, when you have economic intelligence, when you have variable content-based data, it means that the decision that you are going to take as a person, as a citizen of Namibia, as a business person, as a student, as a worker, as a political leader, the decision that you are taking is informed by data. And a decision which is informed by data, a decision which is informed by statistics, is unlikely to fail, because you are at the content, you have the context, and you have the confidence of the number that you are using, so that you know exactly when, where, and what is needed, at what amount, and how should you plan about that. That's why we are saying, when you have that context, particularly economic insight, it's more easier for you. That's why we are saying, dear listeners, download the Villager newspaper, read the Villager newspaper, share our page, because if you share it, those who follow you will also be able to follow us. Then they become, you know, part of, you know, the conversation. So apart from the Villager newspaper, we have Eagle FM app. We have Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking, Eagle FM Namibia, where are you? Where is the frequency? We are continue to indicate to you to say, if you find yourself in the situation where the frequency is not able to reach you, do not worry. Do not worry, because why? You do not need to worry. Because we have a better app for you. We have an application which is operating exactly like WhatsApp, an application that you can download within a second. An application that you can just download within a second. You can go to App Store or Play Store. You type in Eagle FM Namibia. You get that app, download it, then you listen to the programs which are on air. Interestingly, apart from you listening to the programs which are on air, you can also be able, you can also be able to listen to the previous programs through the podcast. Because we are always indicating to say, you don't need to worry. If you find yourself the program that you wanted to listen to, and by the time you wanted to listen to that program, you are busy doing something, or you are just caught up, or you are resting, what do you need to do? What do you need to do in that situation? When you download Eagle FM app, you can just go to podcast. There are dates, names of the programs. You go into that, click into that, then you can listen at your own pace. Dear listeners, apart from that, we also have Imba app. Imba app is a simplification and a better way of accessing a Hangano book or accessing a hymn book in a digital version. If you are a faith-based, you know, a leader, you are a congregate member, or you are just an ordinary citizen who go to church, or you are called to go to an event, it can be an event of, you know, can be a birthday, can be a graduation, a retirement event, and any other event that require you to sing from a hymn book. And you do not have a hymn book, you don't need to worry. You don't need to worry because we got you. We got you in the sense that when you download Imba app, when you download Imba app, you'll be able to listen to, or you'll be able to sing along because you have access to the digital version of a hymn book. You don't need a hard copy. If you do not have it, just download Imba app, then you can be able to listen to the programs, or you'll be able to sing along because you'll find the digital hymn book, you know, Shwambo, you know, Cherero, Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So make your life more easier. Imba with us, and your life will become more easier. So, dear listeners, you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. And yeah, stay tuned. We are going to a short commercial break. Then we'll continue. Yes, dear listeners, welcome back to Business and Economic Segment. Today we are talking about labor issues. Today we are talking about labor issues, particularly on the role of trade union, the role of trade union in ensuring that employees are complying with the labor law, and also employers and government is also complying with the labor law. And the conversation today is motivated by the ongoing training, especially which is hosted by, you know, Namibia. So an ongoing training on trade unionist or unionist across Africa, which is happening currently in Namibia, hosted by, you know, or facilitated by international labor organizations. And today we are going to discuss what is the role of this, you know, trade unions or trade unionist in development of this country. And we are going to ask questions to ourselves to say, what did they do? What did they contribute to national development? And we are going to be also guided by the context and statistics on labor-related issues, and also we are also going to look a little bit on how these issues are connected to trade, are connected to development of the country, are connected to continental African free trade area. Because it's one thing to have a labor union to represent employees, and it's also other thing to have a labor union to gain just money from you know, employees, and pretend to represent employees. And at the end of the day, the condition of workers, the quality of works that we are getting is not content-based, because the aim of a labor union is not just mere representation of employees, but also to make sure that they play a role in national development. Yes. And what is also very interesting is that today we got an opportunity to attend the opening of, training on training of trade unionists. And we were also honored to listen to the speech of the Minister of Justice and Labor Relations and what he has to say about the context for today. And for your own understanding, today training is more based on occupational health and safety during these transformational changes and also at the supply chain. Occupational health and safety in supply chain industry. Now, one of the things that we need to look at, especially in Namibia, is what we produce to what cost. What are we producing to what cost? And who is in charge of making sure that labor practices are implemented, and also what is Act 11 of 2007 is saying, particularly in terms of labor law, and are the companies, state institutions applying those laws? How many cases of labor-related issues are dissolved or are solved, and what is the contribution of employees to the economic development of the country? And I want this to be very clear, especially when we want to look at how we can contribute to the national development of Namibia. What role did an employee play in making sure that labor practices are complied? Is the employee doing what is expected from him or her? Is the employee lazy enough to accomplish a certain task assigned to him? Who is at fault, and how do we solve these issues? When we listen to the regional desk officer of International Labor Organization, that is Ms. Hilma Monte, she indicated that structural transformation in Africa is promoting or it's promoting occupational safety and health in supply chain. And that is what we need, because one of the things that was stated at that opening is that when you look at different changes in terms of operations, in terms of development, in terms of machines, there is also a need to intensify the protection of the safety and health of the employees, particularly those which are working in dangerous industries, such as mines, such as manufacturing industries, underground pits, such as those who are working offshore, and those who are working at the high-risk zones. And it's very crucial to look at what are some of the statistics saying. What are the statistics saying, and why it is very, very important to analyze this issue, and what can we learn from this? It was stated that in 2022, the International Labor Organization took a historic step by making sure that a safe and healthy working environment is one of the fundamental principles and right at work. Safe and healthy working environment. Now, as somebody who is working in a mine, how safe are you? Do you lead labor law Do you have safety equipment? Do you have safety equipment? Are you, did you receive basic safety lessons? How safe are you? How many times are people injured at your work? And how were those situations dealt with? Because remember, it's very, very important to understand that at the center of national development, there's what you call human capital. At the center of national development, there's what you call human capital. And when you have human capital, it's more easier for you to take care and understand that if you want development, the history of developed countries is correlated to their understanding and appreciation of the quality that the human capital is contributing to that national developmental goal, and how they view and how they are viewed in the industry. Now, as International Labour Organization made that pronunciation to make sure that the safe and healthy working environment is a fundamental principle of right at work, one will also be able to look at what are the statistics saying? What are the statistics? Because if you look at what is happening in South Africa, for example, there are those old mine, those closed mines where people are still doing illegal mining, going underground for 3 days or 5 days without water and food. Going underground without water and food, and that is called, illegal mining. Or some are calling them zamas. Very dangerous practices. And when you look at what is happening, when you look at the countries like DRC, you also be able to realize that in these cases or in this situation, you also see the harsh working environment of employees, the harsh working environment of workers who are finding it, very, very difficult to, very, very difficult to be protected. Now, what are the statistics saying? The statistics are saying globally, 81% of work-related death is due to occupational diseases, while 19% result from injuries. With much respect and also cautious, looking at the employees of in the mine, how protected are they? Long term, not in terms of safety boots, but long term. Go and read the Occupational Health Act of Namibia, then compare it with other countries which are also depending on mining. Compare it with South Africa, compare it with DRC, compare it with the country in Asia, then you also compare it with countries also in the western part of the world. Then you'll be realized to say some of these things of basic safety just at the forefront is something which should be long gone. And look at how much are the companies, how much are governments required to pay if they don't comply with those occupational, health standard. Because if you have 81% of work-related death globally due to occupational health disease, it means that this person is affected. It's not that he or she is exposed during that time. It could be that he's exposed for a very long time. Then by the time he retire, he will not live for long. By the time that person retire, he will not be able to, to listen, because his ears are damaged. He will not be able to see properly because his eyes are damaged. He will not be able also to comprehend properly because he's damaged. in the cabeza, in the brain, due to the work environment that the person was working on. Some are not able to have kids because of their working conditions that they've been working on. Now is where to bring. Now we is where we have to bring in the role of trade unions. So we have to bring in the role of trade unions. So we have to look at what do trade unions do in Namibia. What are the role of trade unions and where are their positions? And I'm also going to reference one of the very strong speech by the Minister of Justice. What did he say and what can we learn from this? Something very interesting happened today. At the opening of this training, where the Minister of Justice stood up, Mr. Wise Emmanuel, and he made relevant points. He made relevant points, especially when it's coming to the roles and responsibilities of government workers and also trade unions. That he indicated to say, when it comes to occupational health and safety, there is a need of a responsible government or a conscious government, a responsible employer, and also an understanding employee. And he also indicated to say, not only that, because this is not only a tripartite, agreement. There is also need of a fourth estate, which is media, and in this case, the media has to make sure that there is quality content reporting, particularly in injuries and also accidents which are happening at work. Now, last week. Friday, we were discussing about, roasting uranium sustainability and performance report of 2024, which indicated that the whole of 2024, they have one fatalities, one person died in the process of their mining or agent work. But that report of 2024 also indicated more than 10 million invested in employees training. Then you also realize to say, although there are complaints about, the stakes that we have in that industry, we also need to respect and also understand to say, if somebody is doing what is right, or if somebody has investment in human capital, particularly in training, because uranium is one of the most dangerous, elements that we can find. If this institution, like it has indicated, to invest in training and also, capacitated of its, employees, then you need to thank them. And you also need to realize to say, this could be, the way to go. Now, Mr. Wise Emmanuel also indicated something which is very crucial to say. What are the roles of trade union? Because the speech was very clear to be directed not only to individuals, not only to employees or employers, or to the media, but also to the trade unions. What are the roles of trade unions? And he made it very clear to say he want this program to be effective. He want the training to be effective so that at least Namibia is a responsible trade unionist. And one thing that he mentioned is that it's not only trade unions who are trying to pretend like, they represent the right of employees, but at the end of the day, they don't bring tangible, proposals on the table because, we have seen it. We have seen it. And you agree and disagree with me, which is your democratic right, especially when you look at areas like fishing sector. One of the things which made it very difficult, and I've been paying my attention and I've been doing my research, one of the things which made it very difficult for that labor dispute they call it Okapare fishermen, not to be solved on time, is a misunderstanding of the case and the double representation of union leaders. You find 10 unions speaking about the same thing. Then you also find those who are bribed. Those who are arrested are due to them being bribed. Then you realize to say, are these trade unions genuine? Are they standing on implementation of Labor Act? Are they standing on safety of, safety of the employees? Because the center of discussion here is the safety of employees. Go out and look at industrial areas. Look at the industrial areas. Look at the mining sector. Look at industries. Look at how employees are working. Do they have safety equipment? Do you have safety equipment? Go to industries. Go where beers is produced. Go where meals are produced. Go where go to areas such as meat. Go to factories. Look at the condition of employees. Where are the trade unions? And when you come to this situation, you realize to say, in this fast growing world, in this fast changing world, there's also need to be a shift, because life need to be saved, not at the cost of anybody. Because one of the things which we got from the conversation is that when you talk about the direction where the world is going, when you talk about where Africa is going, when you read clearly on the African Agenda 2063, the plan of the Africa that we want, when you read clearly, then you look to aspirations where, if not 6-7, the way they talk about Africa, where, development is human-centered, where women, children, and youth are prioritized. When you look at this case, how is the condition of workers? And how are women and children benefiting from the natural resources of Africa in the context of value addition? Because one thing, there's a difference between you exporting raw materials and also you adding value. And how safe are you when you are now starting to cut diamonds, when you are now starting to package your uranium, when you are now starting to modify your gold? Because you can't just modify them like that. You need equipment. What are the policies saying? What are the policies saying about the rights, the health, and the safety of, of workers? And what is the context and understanding of workers? Because when you talk about the legal related issues, there is rights and there is also responsibilities. What are the workers saying? And the other thing that you need to look at also is, are the workers adhering to the rules of engagement? Are they also willing to wear the safety equipment that they are given? Are they attending trainings, or they are coming to trainings drunk? Because the responsibility is not only by the responsible institutions, but those employees who are also working there. Are they also adhering? Because these things need a critical assessment, especially when you talk about occupational health and safety in a workplace. Because when somebody comes to a workplace and they realize to say, no, there are these welders who are just cutting the metals, and they do not have safety boots, they do not have safety helmets, maybe it's up to you to go and ask, were they given safety helmets and the sold them or they gave them some way. Or they only wear them when they see the boss is coming. And I've seen a lot of people, especially welders, who are saying, no, I cannot see with these cog glasses. It's maybe going to be right when I'm just, using my naked eyes. But what will happen to this person after 10 years or 20 years? What will happen to this person's sight? So these are some of the things that we need to work on. And these are some of the things that we need to critically assess. Because if we are saying we are very tired about exporting of raw materials, which is indeed true, which is indeed not a wise decision, could have been dealt with a long time ago. Now, moving to the process or the second phase of addition of value. How safe are we? How is our safety inspectors? Because one of the things which we have seen, especially in the mining sector, is that there have been complaints about lack of health inspectors or lack of just site inspectors themselves to go on site and see what is happening, how is the condition of employees. Then you see a lot of these extraction companies, they exploit, workers, which is not right. It's not right at all for somebody to live like a refugee in his own country. And what are the unions saying about this thing? Because unions, we say them, they come and negotiate about salaries, which is also good. But do we have genuine unions? Or we just have people who want opportunities? I'm not saying all of them. But how can they improve also? Because it's also up to you to engage us in the studio to say, how do we strengthen the capacity and power of unions? How do we unite unionists? Because a unionist was supposed to unite employees so that they can fight for their rights and also they can come on the table with their employers, the government, and the fourth estate. But in this regard, are the unions able to sit and agree on anything? Are the unions representing themselves correctly without any interventions? So if we were able to answer that question, then we'll be able also to speak about occupational safety and health. Today we are looking at labor-related issues. We are looking at the prioritization of employees, workers, those who are at the forefront of, country's development. How are they prioritized? What are the roles of trade union? And what do trade unions do? What is the weakness? What is the weakness of trade union means to national development? Because an unhappy worker, an unsafe worker, is a worker lost soon, either by death or through injury. And when you talk about bigger industries like mining sector, when you talk about bigger industries like manufacturing, value addition industry, because when you look at the theme for today's training by OL, it's talking about transformational change and occupational health and safety in supply chain. Because at the end of the day, Africa should not just become a global hub in terms of trade, but should also be a center of excellence in terms of, value addition to the products, to the minerals, and everything which is being produced in Africa. And through this transformation, through these changes, how ready are we to prioritize this? What is the budget of safety and security in your institution? And how are the rights of workers prioritized? And what is the attitude of workers in applying this? That is one thing that we as ordinary people, as employers, as employees, and also as government should also look at. And who compromise whose rights? And is it fair to have unions linked to political parties? Because we are seeing it in South Africa. It has been a debate in political science where you see unionists or unions linked to political parties. And that is an argument of another day, because what compromise is this union going to have when negotiating for the rights of employees? What are they saying? And are they only standing for themselves, or they are standing for the people? And how is unions accepting the behaviors, or how are they transforming the behavior of working force? Because working force is what hold state development. Now, today I was talking with France, and I indicated to say, look, Singapore has been a case study in a lot of developmental conversations. But what he stated is that, no, Singapore did not have mineral resources, but they equipped their human capital. They equipped their human capital, and when they equipped their human capital, then, they made sure that they advanced their development. And the other thing, because occupational health and safety at work meant more than, what you see. Meant more than what you see, because one thing that you also need to look at, especially as a government and as a union and also as an employer, what is the health? At what cost are we going to produce this, this output? And how should I capacity, how should I train my employees not to lose their fingers? Because I remember that time I was at UNAM, I've seen one guy. That guy was traveling back home. And on his way home, I saw he was having a bandage on his head. And I asked, what's happened? Oh, he was, hit by a metal at work. Then I asked, were you given a helmet? They said, no, I was given a helmet, but, there were no belts. You know, when these guys are in a construction site, you have to have those safety, equipment that allow you also to stay for a long time on top of a building. And when you strip away, they can also be able to assist you not to fall. But that guy fell on the metal, and he was in the hospital for around 20 days. And I asked him, were you paid for that? He said, no, I'm scared of losing my job. But when you look at the things that these guys are doing, when you go to town, and then you see buildings standing. Those buildings were not built by computers. Those buildings were built by human beings. They were built by human capitals. And when this building are built by human capital, at what cost? How safe are they? How trained are they? And when you look at what is the relationship between those trade unions who are, representing these employees and their employers. And, I like the approach that was used by Manvu. The approach that was used by Manvu. And when you look at a lot of business people, especially foreign business persons, they understand who Manvu is, especially in the construction sector, because it has been one of the strongest trade unions in Namibia. And I met Justin Jonas and her colleagues. But I'm still trying to figure out where are they standing now, since now she went to parliament. Where are they standing now? Are they still doing what they have been doing? Or there is still more which need to be done? Because if situations do not change, things will not be right. Because when you see in 2022, International Labour Organization taking a historical step to say working in a safe working environment is a fundamental, you know, principle and right at work, you will also be able to see that the leaders in IOR indicated that even the countries which did not ratify communique, but they are members of International Labour Organization, they must comply. Whether they have ratified on the convention, they are expected to respect and promote, the principle of OSH. That is what it is. It's what it is. And interestingly, when the statistics are indicating that global death is caused by, 81% is death related to occupational diseases, which means that somebody can be working for 30 years, then 10 years on retirement, the person is sick, the person has TB, the person, the brain is damaged, or the person's sight cannot be, it's not functional, or the person is mentally disturbed, the person died. They are saying 81% is on diseases, and 19% is results from injuries. But one thing that that the Minister of Justice mentioned is that, responsible media, and we were not exception in that meeting, so responsible media to say, let us look at the report of injuries, deaths at work, because that is the only way that we are going to save our fellow Namibians, and that is the only way that we are going to save those who will be, suffering from this, unsafe work environment. Because if you can be able to report an injury or death, it can also be able to alarm other employers also to rethink, and also be able also to assist. Because sometimes it is ignored until it happened, then you understand that it need to be prioritized. But prevention, they are always saying prevention is better than cure, and it's always crucial, so it's imperative to make sure that in that regard priorities must be prioritized. And I think it's also up to our trade unions, our government, through the line minister, which is Justice and Labor Relations, our employers, and also our contractors, and even employees themselves, to understand what does it mean to be safe, and whose advantage. Because sometimes it's not only about you, it's not only about your business, it's not about the government either. Is about the people on the ground who are going to benefit from that. Because if you lose a human being, a human is a human capital. And if you practically put it on the context to say one cleaner who just died because of inhaling a chemical which could have been prevented by giving him or her an orientation, or by wearing safety close. One employee who just died leave a huge gap, even which is affecting the contribution of the salary of the president, or the operation of the salary of the president. Put it in that context. You may argue with me, which is your democratic right, but a cleaner not working because he's sick, it affects the financial operation of the country. Just with that percentage that you are seeing, financial operation of the country, investment, this financial situation, and even the motorcade of the president, it may not be an impact. But if they become 2 and 3, then they become 4, then you see the shortage,
Then you see the cost of replacement. Then you see again the cost of recruitment. Then you see the cost of hiring, the cost of training. Then you also understand that the cost of also mistakes due to a new person at work. Then you realize that a lot have been spent. Not that you can literally see and put on the table. Then you see an increment in the cost of paying for the for medication of the other one. Or if the person died now, paying for the funeral and all those things. Then you see the gap that this person left in the community, because he's not just a worker at work. He also a worker at a business at home, who also economically linked to his children or her children that are going to school, that are also going to pay the taxi driver who is taking them to school. And that taxi driver who has to pay his girlfriend or his wife. Then you see where the gap is, because one human being may look like it's a small person, but when the statistics are saying it's 81% of death is caused by, you know, disease related to occupational disease, you'll be able to realize to say something needs to be done, especially when you want to transform in this context, African countries which want to move to industrialization. There's a new phase, structural change, that need a new approach when it's coming to safety and also health of employees. And it's the sole responsibility of me as an employee and also my employer, together with my my government and also the fourth estate, to make sure that these things are prioritized and practically implemented. So, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe, and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye for now.